Last Sunday, I shared, I think you remember, those of you that were here, I shared a message on deception and be not deceived, and I shared that story of how recently we had been somewhat deceived for a point of time and then found out that it was something definitely that was, very deceptive. And I closed the message saying that I want to look at ways that maybe the enemy would look at trying to deceive us. You know, how could we as believers that know the truth, have been taught it, how can we be deceived today? Are we prone to that, or are we above that? And I think we understand that as long as we are living, we have to be very careful to the deceptive ways that Satan comes to us. And he would come to us as believers, I believe, many times as a form of an angel of light. And so I want to just look at an area that I feel we can be deceived in this form of deception that the enemy, I believe, is bringing our way, and just how to deal with it. I named off a number of them, but I think we want to start with the one that I would say for me is it probably gets my attention first and foremost, and so I decided to touch on this one this morning, and that is technology. I don't know how many of you have read the little booklet. It was in the back. It's called The Pilgrim and Technology. It's just a small little booklet, I think put out by Christian Light Publications. A few of my thoughts came from there. A very good booklet. I encourage you to read that if you haven't already. And when I say technology, I'm not talking about a piece of equipment or anything like that necessarily. I'm talking about the internet form of technology, or the World Wide Web is another form of it. And as you hear that word, the internet and World Wide Web, what picture comes to your mind? What do you hear in both of those descriptions? Excuse me, that are very similar. Pardon that? Okay, web and a net. So let's just look at that and let's see what that is. What are nets, children? What are nets normally used for? Anybody? Any of you children? What when a person uses a net, normally what are you trying to do with that? Yes, right here.
Go fishing.
And you want to catch the fish, right? You don't throw the net into the water hoping the fish swim through it. Okay, what does a spider do when she builds a web? What's the reason that a spider builds a web? To scare the flies away? No, right here, Dylan? To catch them, right? And so a web and a net, and if you can picture a web or a net, you know, it's made with strings or fiber all closely put together, all connected together. It's not just little pieces hanging loose. They're all connected together, and it forms a net and a web. And I fully believe that our enemy's agenda with this new form of technology is to deceive me, to deceive you into thinking that it's a neat thing, but it's a net, or it's a web process. But you're okay. You know, we can be a part of that. And before you walk out too quickly, and before you think I'm not thinking very straight here, I want you to stay with me. I do have the internet. I'm not going to speak against it necessarily. Or I'm not going to ask you to go home and pitch it out the window. However, if that is what you should do, then that is what I am here to say should happen. This form of technology today is tremendous. It's beyond anything that I could ever imagine. And you try to ask someone to explain it to you. You know, how can you put volumes and volumes of documents and photos and videos and whatever you want on a piece of nothing, silicon, is what they say, yet you take a little smart card or whatever they are and you break them open, I don't find anything inside of there. But yet all of that stuff is placed in there and can be sent everywhere around the world. I don't understand it, and evidently a few people do, or we wouldn't have it. But, you know, there's a lot of good and there's a lot of positive with this invention. And I believe that is the reason that I would say that this can be very deceptive for us as believers, because it comes as an angel of light. Could it look like this? And I hesitate to even do this because I don't want to paint a picture that's not there. But could it be that Satan, as he, or the enemy, as he looks at ways to deceive us, that maybe he's like thinking, you know, you have these thoughts, and I looked it up. Normally, when you say something and you're like, you know, the enemy thinking, and he goes, I know how I can get them. Now, I know that I looked this the word up, and it's only spelled with two M's. It is in the dictionary, and it is a word. But I put the next one there because I believe the enemy can think of that type of thing, and he can just turn it right around, and what do you have? But you have the World Wide Web. Now, don't take that too far, but he's going to do what he can to distract you and me. We must be very careful. And what is the world? The Bible says, 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That is the world. It's not of the Father, but of the world. And so the enemy will use something that is good. It can be very positive, but he can use that to destroy both you and I in a very deceiving way. So why am I coming down so hard on this whole neat thing that we have right here among us? Here's the reason. What do you think the number one topic that is searched on the internet? What do you think that topic is? The number one topic. It's immorality. That's the number one topic. 43% of internet content is pornographic. That's almost half of it. And that's what we have to sift through, okay? 60% of all websites visited are immoral to some form or another. 60%. That's over half of what people are actually doing with the internet is immoral activities. So for most of us, we have it. I don't know where all of you are at, but for most of us, we have the internet in our homes, and we even have it right in our pockets, right? In the form of a phone or something. And we must have a plan, and we must act on it, or it will deceive and kill and destroy our bodies. For our children, they're growing up, it's the norm. It's what's so great about this. It's just life. It's just what we have. It's the norm. And it's exactly what the enemy wants us to start to believe, that it's normal. It's okay. Let me express maybe a bit of the seriousness of it all. The internet today, I suggest, is like having and maybe you will laugh at this, but could it be like having a wild African lion loose in your house? I tried to think of the most vicious animal there is. And I don't know that the African lion is, but I would say it's quite vicious. How comfortable would you be if you had a real lion loose in your house? What would you do if that would be the case? Let's think of what we have as it relates to this technology in our home. We don't allow lions in our houses, and so that's not a problem, right? So that takes care of that problem, and that's a good thing. We say no to lions in the house. We just don't allow them in the house. It makes good sense, totally. I heard this said a number of years ago by a speaker speaking on this subject of technology, and this is what he said. Conservative churches, and I think he said Mennonite churches, but just say conservative churches do better at abstinence than they do at moderation. We do better, we've done better at saying no. No lions in the house. But we do poor at moderation. So if we say no, we know where we're at. But if we allow it, but we say, okay, you know, you can have the lion, but it needs to just be a little baby one. Then we have a hard time monitoring that, because guess what? That little baby lion becomes a big lion, right? Abstinence may be easier to enforce in moderation. To say no, and that's it. That's easy. But then to say yes and to be able to regulate that and moderate that, that's where we need to then be setting guidelines and having accountability. And how well do we do that? Back to the lion in the house. It's much safer and easier to say no than to say, okay, we can have one, but now let's set the rules. And let's be careful to not too quickly say, and I've heard it, and I've probably even said it myself, you know, we can set all these guidelines and, you know, whatever, no internet, or you can have it, you can only do this or that, and once or twice a day. Because then we say, you know, you're not going to keep someone from sinning. If they're going to want to sin, they're going to go do this or that. So, but I think setting boundaries is something that we must and need to do. It's kind of that kind of thinking is kind of like saying, okay, you can give your child a loaded gun and say, here it is, you know, just be careful with it. We don't do that. We set guidelines, and we understand that. When many of our conservative churches took a stand years ago on the television, now I'm not putting television and the internet side by side and saying they're the same. I'm not, because I think the internet has many applications that we can benefit from that television we probably wouldn't have benefited from it much at all. However, there is some good things that have happened on the television and are happening. But when our conservative churches took a stand on the television years ago and said no, they made that clear, would we not say that that was a wise decision, right? And if they wouldn't have, where would we be at today? Where would I be at today? So we said that was a wise decision. But now we have something different, and maybe we're not saying no to it quite in that way. So now what? You know, the internet is seemingly an increasing need, and it makes saying no to it look almost impossible, because it's, and maybe even unwise, because, you know, we say, well, it's the way of the future, and it's something we must learn how to use, and our children are going to grow up with it, and I think there's some right thinking in that. Am I correct in saying that many of the rising generation, young people today, tend to see themselves as part of this whole age, and it's kind of the norm, while maybe the older ones tend to shy away from it, saying we don't want it, or it's part of the Antichrist. I think there is that feeling. So as we face this great kind of a divide between older people, middle age, young, wherever you're at, there is differences in feeling. You know, how are we going to deal with that? How does that look within the church? You know, stop and think about it. If we would say no to the internet completely, just totally out, no phones with it. You could only use a phone. We call them Tesco phones here. We would almost look like the Amish without vehicles, in a sense. It would almost be that radical. So since we have not taken the stand on abstinence, then the younger and the older generation and those of us in between, I feel, must work together to find ways to use the internet wisely, moderately, and very safely. Back to the lion. It is a form of a lion, and that lion must be, I feel, caged and a lock put on it, if you understand what I'm saying. There has to be some type of control. To not be concerned and have a plan for what we have here is to be deceived by the enemy. We must see it for what it is. You know, some would say, what's the big deal about the internet? It's the same thing that happened years ago when the airplane was invented. And what's wrong with an airplane? That was a good thing, and we all get on them and we fly. But is it? Is it the same? I don't think so. I think this is something that has crept and will creep into our lives in a very deceptive way if we are not aware of it. When I hear of someone that says that they have a problem, they have the internet, but yet they have a problem with anybody else in the church to be accountable to them or to have that whole accountability system a part of their internet usage, then when I hear that they have a problem with that, then I guess that's where I have a problem, because we want to be there to help each other. With that type of a mindset that I can control it and I can take care of it by myself, and you really don't need to know what's happening or what I'm doing or how much time or whatever it is, then I believe that is part of the net and part of the web that I will be entangled in as I go on it on my own. The internet will only become more of a part of our lives, and we can't get away from that. And we must have a tight grip on it. You know, it becomes a norm for us. I mentioned that. Soon after we came here, I wasn't used to a whole lot of woodworking machinery. I was used to metal working machinery. And we have a piece of machinery over here at the shop, and it's called a table saw. A very useful piece of equipment. And CJ's smiling for some reason. But that table saw is very dangerous because you're sliding boards through it and the blade is just right there exposed. And so I'm very careful, and to this day I'm still very careful. However, as time goes on, that becomes more of a normal piece of equipment. And the other day I seen someone going through it pretty fast, and I just mentioned, you know, take your time, be slow, because I tend to do the same thing. And we can go whizzing down through there with our thumb 2 inches away from a blade, you know, that will take it off. We become used to that, and our minds are completely somewhere else, but we're working with a piece of equipment that will take a finger off very, very quickly. We must be aware of what we have here as it relates to the internet. You know, the internet has brought many, many things to us in many different forms. I just thought I would do this here this morning, and one of my boys seen this list and he said, "You're not going to read all that, are you?" And we'll see how far we get. But here, in the last I don't know how many years, we have so much as it relates to technology, and particularly this internet thing, it's changed our way of talking and thinking and on and on. I mean, Here, just this will just give you an idea of what we're up against and what's happening around us. Just listen as I read off just a few, I would say, of the terms and things that we're hearing. Some of them I've never heard. Some of them I hear, still don't know what they are. And I'm going to give this in an alphabetical form, so as I get down, you know how far I am along the list as I get down, so hopefully it won't take too long. Here are some words and descriptions. Adware, aggregation sites, analog, Android, antivirus protection, an app, archive, artificial intelligence, augmented reality. Some of these are just abbreviations. BCC, BIOS, bandwidth, bit, BitTorrent, Bitly, block and blocking, blogs, Bluetooth, CC, catch, chat roulette, cloud computing, code, connectivity, cookies. I enjoy dunking them in milk and eating them. But cookies, whatever they are. Cyberbullying, default, digital citizenship, digital footprint, domain, downloading, e-books, e-readers, e-book readers, FAQ, Facebook, file sharing, filter, firewall, flash drive, Flickr, forums and chat rooms, gaming, GPS, Google, a gig, hacker, hacking, hashtag, homepage, IPTV, icon, identity theft, information technology, Instagram, instant messaging, interactive whiteboards. Here's a hard one. Internet, intranet, and ethernet. iPad, JPEG, keyword, Kick Messenger, Kindle. LinkedIn, lurking, malware, microblogging, microchip, moderator, MySpace, Megabyte, Mennonite. No, I added that one. But we're in the mix. We're in this mix. National Broadband Network, Netiquette, Network, Ning, Online Auction, Open Source, Operating System, Parental Controls, Peer-to-Peer, Phishing, spelled with PH, Photo Sharing Websites, Ping, Piracy, Podcast, Privacy, RSS Feeds, Real Time, a router, we have them over in the shop. Router and wood, royalty fee, sexting, shareware, shopping cart, Skype, smartphone, Snapchat, and Snap Kids, SD card, tablet, tagging, tracking, trending, Twitter, texting, URL, uninstall, unique visitors. Any of you unique visitors here? A Vine, viral, virtual world, virus, vodcast, wallet, wallpaper. I thought that was out of style, but it's back in. Webcam, webmaster, wiki, Wi-Fi, Yahoo, and guess what Z is, the last one. Zombie. I thought that was fitting. That's a few of what we have. And it's some of these words I didn't even pronounce because they're not even in the dictionary. But it's new things that are happening, and we are faced with it. It's the trend today, and what will you and I do with it? What will be our language? And I'm not saying we have to speak in these languages, but we need to understand what these languages are and what they're doing to you and to me. Recently, our internet was down for about 2 days. And what was upsetting to me, some of you heard me say this already, but what was upsetting to me more than anything was how upset I was about it. Because the internet is what I check my emails with, and that's pretty important. I have that. And if you need to find out something, we didn't have it, and it just didn't feel right. And it bothered me because of it showed me how much I kind of think I need that. And would we not say then that the internet can be addictive? And for too many people, I think they are addicted. And I can be addicted and in the wrong way. Do you feel that you're addicted to it? Why don't you try, if you're not sure, why don't you try to take it away for a week? And if you say, oh, that's too long, then I say you're addicted probably. Why don't you try it for a day? Just try it. Make those times where you say, I'm just going to leave it. And see what that does, and see see what you have left after that and how much time you have left or whatever. I challenge you to do that. John 10:10. And I don't know if you noticed something that's missing here this morning, but we haven't got to Scripture yet, have we? And that's what happens. That's what happens with technology. It takes us away, I feel, from Scripture too often. We will get to Scripture. Just bear with me. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And you know, the thief is the devil. And he is here to steal your time and my time in any way that he can. And in the process, he will kill us spiritually. So now, all of these warnings and all of these thoughts, where do we go from here? You know, do we just say no and go home? I don't think so. We must develop convictions and set standards and seek advice from each other, from the brotherhood, and care and listen to each other. I think we're all agreed that the internet is very positive and has been very good, but as well, it's very, very, can be very negative, because it distracts, it wastes our time, it's addictive, it supplies wrong and bad information. The online encyclopedia, what do you call that? The Wikipedia. From what I understand, that's open to anybody to kind of go on and put on there what you think this means. I think it's somewhat regulated, but it's not that true of a place to go to. It supplies wrong and bad information. It teaches wrong study skills. It hinders practical labor skills. A number of years ago, I was at a butcher's place. He butchered cows and pigs and also wild game. And he was telling me that the wild game coming to them, that industry has slowed down. He says because young people are at home and they're playing games at home. They don't go out now into the forest to go hunting or to do whatever. You could put whatever hobby. You do that now at home, and you can go hunting at home on your computer, and you can play your games at home on a computer. You don't have to exert energy and go out and ride a bicycle, you know, up the steep mountain on a mountain bike. You can do that now just in your living room and ride that same bike up and down or fly the air. Whatever it is, it's keeping people now indoors. And is that what we want? So it causes us to waste our money. I would say we probably spend more money since we have that easy in us. You go online, you order it, and hit send, and it's there free. You know, they send it to you free. What they say, you know, that's not true. It's all figured in there. It develops wrong relationships. We hear of people that have been on and somehow get on the wrong site or connected with the wrong people, and they lose their relationship. It happens. Much of it's immoral, and it destroys and kills. And so we say there's many bad things as well. Here are some simple helps that maybe can make the internet safer for you and for I. Keep it as a tool, not a toy. All right? Keep it as a tool and not a toy. Limit the amount of time that you spend on it. These are things that you will have to put into place if you have this form of technology. Never put it ahead of personal time with God. And maybe that will limit the amount of time that you put on it. When you are spending more time connecting with, you name it, whatever you're connecting with, when that time is far and above your time with God, then it's not going to work. It will destroy. Don't allow children, for us as parents, don't allow children to use it without direct parental oversight. Have a filter and accountability procedure. Don't think I can just do this on my own. I really feel like something has to be put into place for each one of us. Do not access it in private. Have an open door policy. Wherever you find yourself by yourself, Don't use it there unless you're hurt and you need to get online and let someone know you're there. But don't go there when you're by yourself. And when you're in a room or whatever, keep the doors open. We don't have to be in behind doors doing our thing on the internet. Do not make a covenant between you and God. And this is not original with me, but I never forgot it. As for me and my mouth, we will serve the Lord. Okay? Never forget that. Write that on your keypad. I don't know if you have a mouse anymore or not. They're probably going to be obsolete before long. But keep that covenant between you and God. And another one that was on a list, and I hesitate to share it because I think there's probably differences, but I think I will share it and you take it and do with it what you feel is best. And that is avoid social networks. Where all does that take you? Where can it take you? I'm not for connecting with friends, but what determines a friend nowadays, and where all does that go? We must be careful. Let me ask the question, is technology or the internet, we're talking about particularly, is it a moral thing or is it amoral? Is it moral or amoral? You're scared to answer, but I think you know it. Let me say what a moral is. Moral is distinguishing between right and wrong. Okay? And amoral is incapable of distinguishing between right and wrong. Now, is the internet an amoral or a moral? Anybody care to say? I would say that the internet is an amoral. We can't just say that it's wrong, okay? Because we can have it, right? And we can be okay. I think we can say that. I sure hope so. I think most of us have it. So we would say that technology is amoral and human choices are not. Human choices, the choices that you make and I make, are moral. They're going to be right or wrong. Romans 14:14 says, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Technology becomes morally good or morally bad depending on how you and I use it. That's what we must understand, and we must realize it's going to lie with you on what you're going to do with it. Titus 1:15, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and their conscience are defiled. You and I must hold ourselves accountable for our choices. I'm on the last page of notes. We must also realize that we are the Lord's in every aspect of our lives. We are not our own. You are not your own. 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's put that in context with what we're talking about. Whether you text, you email, or you Google, do all to the glory of God. Turn in your Bibles for four verses in closing. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 14. Ephesians 6, 10 to 14. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the internet, the wiles of the devil, the deceptive things around us, whatever you want to put in there. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And it goes on to say what all to put on. But we get the understanding here. We are called to be strong. We are called to put on the whole armor. We're called to cage this lion, to put a protective mesh around it and keep it where it needs to be. Be not deceived is the thought I want to leave with you. Be not deceived, dear friends, in this area of technology and the internet, whatever form it is. Do not let it become a part of your life where you say, it's just a norm. I can take care of it, and we become deceived and we lose out spiritually. And we become entangled in a web that we don't want to be found in. Let's kneel for closing prayer.
Our Father, we are grateful for your presence. We thank you for the understanding of your word and for the warnings that you have in your word. And I pray that we would take these seriously. And I pray particularly as it relates to the subject that was talked about here, that we would understand the deceptiveness of this and how it can take our hearts and our lives and destroy that. And I pray that each one of us, God, would be wise stewards of what you have given to us. Help us to make wise choices. Help us to be open and accountable to you, first of all, and to each other. I pray that you would lead us as we go through this next week.